it's a horrible story, and I wish that it wasn't true. I wish that none of that happened, and I wished everything was so much different. It's just the way that my life was.
State of Texas versus Susan Lucille Wright.
My name is Susan Wright. I was charged with murder. I killed my husband. I was convicted of murdering my husband. I couldn't go on how things were. Our whole marriage had been just a really big cover-up. Anytime that he would be upset, he would come home and take it out on us. He would throw me against the walls. He would hit me in the face, the stomach, the back. He would kick until he wasn't angry anymore. This was just another fight that got really bad. I told him that I thought that he needed help. That wasn't my place to tell him that he needed any sort of help. That's just not the way that our marriage was. And we began to fight. I didn't want him to die, but I didn't have a choice. I don't want to tell it. I don't want to tell it anymore.
The crime itself is horrible beyond words. How do you make it make sense? How in the world does she get to the point to where she can murder him that kind of way, to that degree? 193 stab wounds.
Susan Wright has admitted to stabbing Jeff Wright 193 times.
She is the wife accused of stabbing her husband nearly 200 times and then burying his body.
She's always maintained that she was innocent, that she was a battered wife.
He put his hands around my neck and he choked me. He began to punch me in the chest over and over again. He shook me over and over,
over
again.
Over and over again until he wasn't angry anymore. Until he wasn't angry anymore.
Susan Wright is a beautiful blonde with a black heart.
One.
She is a cold-blooded.
Two.
Scheming.
Three.
Diabolical.
Four.
Murderer.
Like you're mad, like you're afraid, like you can't stop.
I was defending myself against my husband.
She started lying the night she killed Jeffrey, and she continues to lie until this day.
There was so much left out of the first trial.
If she wants a second trial and she wants to take that risk, bring it on.
There's a lot of new information, people coming forward and wanting to testify.
He was on his way over to me again, and I didn't want to be beat anymore that night.
He took the glass and he threw it and it shattered on my face.
Abuse is a secret. You get kicked, you get hit, you don't tell.
I know I'm gonna go home.
Betting her life.
My heart hurts for everything that happened. We had two beautiful children. He had a full life ahead of him, and so did I.
Susan Wright has had years in a Texas penitentiary to reflect on the bloody end to her troubled marriage while longing for the children she's now legally prohibited from seeing.
Holidays are very hard. Birthdays are hard. Sometimes just waking up and missing everyone, it's very hard.
State of Texas versus Susan Lucille Wright.
It was March 2004. A Houston jury convicted Susan of murder.
Guilty of murder as charged in the indictment.
And sentenced her to 25 years for stabbing her husband, Jeff, almost 200 times.
I'd honestly expected them to come back and say not guilty.
Why did you expect them to find you not guilty?
Well, because I had gotten up on the stand and I had told them what happened, and that's just the way that life was. I expected them to believe it.
I remand you now to the custody of the Sheriff of Harris County, Texas.
I lost my sister that day.
Cindy Stewart saw her sister taken away after her conviction and has never stopped fighting to prove that Susan's story is true.
She was a stay-at-home mom. She's not a tough girl. She baked cookies every day. She was going to be thrown into prison. I didn't know if she would survive.
While Susan Wright remained locked up waiting for someone to hear her appeal, the key piece of evidence remained locked up in storage. Jeff Wright was killed on this bed, and it caused quite a stir, to say the least, when the prosecutor brought it into the courtroom.
All right, so if the defendant were to get up on top of Jeffrey Wright, something like this, and straddle him, and she's right-handed, and how do you think she held the knife?
That's prosecutor Kelly Siegler playing the part of Susan Wright and leaving nothing to the imagination.
Did you see anything consistent with a stab to the penis?
It was nicked. It was a superficial cut. More of a slicing.
Superficial slicings like this.
I was just horrified that anyone thought that that was what that happened.
I felt sick. I had no idea that law was more of a theatrical presentation than it was about justice.
He hovered over her in the bed with a knife.
Susan believes her young attorneys were no match for the toughest little prosecutor in Texas.
Objection, this is arguing.
Judge, she went into the same
thing. They never put on proof of her claim that she was a battered wife.
The original trial just didn't explain everything.
Anyone who wants to understand what happened the night she killed Jeff, Susan says, first needs to know what happened in the years leading up to it.
I just thought that we were going to have that fairy tale marriage with the kids in the house, you know, the same thing that every other girl dreams about.
When they married, Susan was 22 and Jeff was 30. He was a successful carpet salesman. Susan says Jeff changed shortly after the birth of their first child, Bradley. She testified at her trial that Jeff started doing drugs and became abusive.
He told me what a fat ass that I was. He told me that I was stupid and that I was worthless.
And then, she says, the abuse became physical.
He threw me up against the wall and he shook me by my arms as hard as he could until he wasn't angry, and he began to punch me in the chest over and over again.
Susan began to complain about his marijuana use, which escalated into complaints about cocaine use.
Cindy says she was worried for her sister's safety and at one point helped her leave Jeff.
He had thrown Susan through a wall, and we witnessed this hole in the sheetrock that was the size of her back.
But the very next day, Jeff showed up where Susan and Bradley were staying with a moving van and took them back home.
There's not a doubt in my mind that she made up the whole story.
Ron Wright is Jeff's father.
She actually tortured him to death. He bled to death. She stabbed him in his eye while he was still alive.
Jeff's father says in the 4 years Susan and his son were married, he never saw any sign of abuse. And in fact, Susan never filed a single police report before exploding in violence on the night of January 13th, 2003.
He had just gotten done with a boxing lesson and he wanted to box with Bradley.
Susan testified that Jeff had come home high and agitated.
Jeff got his hands up in a boxing motion and started making jabs at Bradley's head.
But Bradley didn't want to play. He was just 4 years old.
That just kept frustrating Jeff. The more that he didn't want to do it, he kept calling Bradley a sissy and a little girl.
Did Jeff end up hitting Bradley in the cheek?
Yes, he did.
Susan said she put Bradley and his younger sister Kaylee to bed and then confronted her husband, told him she would leave if he didn't get help.
He came at me and he swung me around and threw me against the wall and he told me not to give him any f***ing ultimatums, bitch, that I didn't have the right.
Susan told the court later that night, Jeff raped her.
My eyes were closed and I heard his voice. And it was scary, it was calm. And he said, die, bitch, and I opened up my eyes.
She said Jeff was holding a knife. According to her, she kicked Jeff in the groin, grabbed the knife, and started stabbing.
Where'd you stab him?
In his head, and in his his chest and in his neck and in his stomach and in his leg from when he kicked me. I stabbed him in his penis for all the times that he made me have sex and I didn't want to and I couldn't stop because he was going to kill me and I couldn't stop.
Prosecutor Kelly Siegler doesn't believe a word of it.
See, what you're left with is the word of a card-carrying, obvious, no doubt about it, caught red-handed, confirmed, documented liar. All that battered wife abuse bull was just that. It was bull.
Prosecutor Kelly Siegler did not mince words.
This case is not about self-defense. It's about a slaughter.
She ridiculed Susan Wright's claim that she killed her husband, Jeff, in self-defense.
For her to claim self-defense and say she took a knife away from a man who outweighed her by 100 pounds is ridiculous.
And Siegler still believes that.
She wasn't a battered wife.
How do you know?
We never found any evidence of it.
The evidence, Siegler says, tells a very different story. That's because Jeff's naked body was found with ties around his wrists and ankle. It was, according to Siegler, all part of an elaborate seduction scene.
She had to play it. She had to play the game from the minute he got home from work that day, if not sooner, to get him in the right mood, to set the scene, to get him tied up and defenseless, to pull out her knife.
And that's why Siegler brought the bed into the courtroom.
Okay, do you have both of his wrists tied tightly?
Yes, ma'am.
Paul, try to lift your hands up. Okay. Now, same thing for his ankles.
Medical examiner Dwayne Wolf backed up the prosecution's theory that Jeff Wright could not fight back.
Out of his 193 stab wounds, almost all of them were on the front of the body. And if a person is not restrained in some way, they'd be moving. I would be moving. I would have stab wounds predominantly on my back as I'm heading toward the door.
Regardless of what Dr. Wolf says, Susan insists Jeff was not tied up, at least when she started stabbing him. But something made her stop.
What did you hear that made you stop?
Bradley was at the door.
While Susan was slashing at her husband, Bradley, their 4-year-old son, woke up and knocked at the bedroom door. Susan had to stop stabbing his father to put Bradley back to bed. And that's when, she says, she tied up her husband.
And then I tied up his right arm to the bed so that he couldn't get up because I was afraid he was going to get up and come after me when I was putting Bradley back to sleep.
After calming Bradley, Susan says she got a fresh knife from the kitchen, came back into the bedroom, and started stabbing Jeff again. When she finally finished stabbing him, she dragged his body off the bed and tied him to a dolly. But she didn't take him very far. This is the patio. This is where Jeff Wright ended up, in a shallow hole he dug himself as part of a home improvement project.
Why didn't you call the police?
Because Jeff was still alive.
What do you mean he's still alive? This is not rational. You understand that now.
Now I understand that. When he was still alive, he wasn't dead.
Susan claimed she was in a fog the next few days.
She took my son's name off of the answering machine, which, you know, in a fog, that raises a little question, doesn't it?
Susan Lucille Wright.
Kelly Siegler eagerly pointed out that Susan cleaned up the bloody bedroom and emptied out the joint bank account. And for the first time, she filed an abuse complaint against Jeff after he was already dead.
She had the presence of mind to do all that, so how foggy was she really?
Kelly Siegler had a lot of questions about what Susan did. Siegler spent months preparing for this moment, her cross-examination of Susan Wright.
The week after you killed Jeff, Mrs. Wright, during this fog that you experienced in and out that week, you always managed to take care of your children, though, did you not?
Yes, like I had said before.
That was a yes or no answer, did you not?
Yes, ma'am, I'd always
Thank
done
you.
It.
Siegler wanted to convince the jury that the real Susan is a scheming seductress.
Oh, come on. You're a former dancer.
That is something she wants the jury to remember. For 2 months, when she was 18, Susan Wright was a topless dancer.
You're going to sit up there and tell this jury that y'all never practiced bondage.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, that was good. Are you, like, appalled at the idea? Is that where we get that oh, no from?
How would you describe Ms. Siegler's cross-examination of your sister?
I think that she's brutal.
When you stabbed him the 56th time or the 89th time or the 158th time, was your arm getting tired?
She wanted it to seem like I did something horrible on purpose, and that night I was just fighting for my life.
Did you hear the medical examiner testify that you didn't stab his penis? What you did was nick at it
and take little slashes at him. No, I did not slash at him. No.
You didn't stab his penis. That's not a stab like this. Like you're mad, like you're afraid, like you can't stop.
Objection, Your Honor. I'm going to ask the prosecutor to get back down in the seat, please, and refrain from doing this 2 feet from the witness.
When you take this knife...
Siegler left the jurors with one last powerful image.
Count it. One, two, three, four,
and five. It worked.
Can you imagine 193 times?
The jurors convicted Susan Wright of murdering her own husband.
That you, Susan Lucille Wright, having been found guilty by this jury, a juror of your peers, of the offense of murder, be assessed 25 years confinement in the interim.
They could have sentenced her to life. Instead, she got a break, 25 years.
What did you think of the sentence?
I thought it was in bad taste. I thought that she should have gotten a lot more.
But at least one courtroom observer thought Susan got a raw deal.
You look at it and you think what happened wasn't right, wasn't fair, and wasn't just.
Brian Weiss, a prominent appellate attorney, believes Susan Wright deserves another chance. He thinks he can get her sentence reduced or even set her free. And this is the woman who could help make it happen.
I was extremely scared of Jeff. Extremely.
Attorney Brian Weiss is working tirelessly and for free.
It's like law school final exams.
To try to get Susan Wright's 25-year prison term reduced.
4.5 years ago in this courtroom, the system broke down.
It is October 2008, and he's in court asking Judge Jim Wallace to grant Susan a new sentencing hearing before a new jury.
The old saying goes, be careful what you wish for. And that's certainly true when you're talking about a person's life and liberty.
Judge Wallace, who presided over the original trial, says Susan and her new attorney are taking a big gamble. A new jury could give her more time.
Well, what's at stake here for Susan Wright? She's walking a razor's edge, and she might get life.
It could go either way, but I'm not worried. I just don't think that God would have brought me this far.
The evidence is going to show that two well-meaning, inexperienced, and ultimately overmatched lawyers dropped the ball.
Weiss argues that Susan's lawyers at her original trial should have called more witnesses, especially experts on how battered women behave.
You can't try a case involving a defendant who's battered unless you have a battered women's expert. It is like doing Hamlet without Hamlet.
Why?
Because so many lay jurors fall back on the myths and misconceptions about battered women. Why don't they leave? Why don't they call the cops? Why don't they tell anybody?
Without any expert testimony, Weiss says prosecutor Kelly Siegler was able to easily rip apart Susan's claim that she was a battered wife.
Hello, where's the doctor, the MD, the PhD? This is the only case you're ever going to hear of where the defendant can diagnose herself as a battered wife. Where's their expert?
Here's the expert Weiss thinks the original jury should have heard from.
psychologist Jerome Brown. He evaluated Susan after her lawyers put her in a psychiatric center the week after Jeff's murder.
I think that she was emotionally and physically battered by her deceased husband.
Over a period of time?
Over years, yes.
Susan, he says, had grown so terrified of Jeff, she couldn't take it anymore.
She snapped. She killed him in a frenzy.
Go for a ride.
And Weiss says there's another person who could convince a jury of Susan's fear of her husband. Misty McMichael was once engaged to Jeff Wright.
He was very charming, considerate, thoughtful, complimentary, everything that you want in a man, you think.
But like Susan, Misty says Jeff Wright had another side.
He would like to get me on the ground, because once you're on the ground, you can get kicked and...
Did he kick you?
Oh, yeah.
Unlike Susan, after one attack, Misty filed a police report.
We were at a bar in Austin. I must have looked at someone, and he had a fit and threw a glass at me, and it shattered, and a piece of it went into my chin, and it's still in there.
Jeff agreed to a plea deal on the assault charge and avoided jail. Misty left one night when Jeff wasn't home, although Jeff's father says she never lost interest in his son.
I know that she chased my son up until a week before he died. Does that sound like a woman that's getting beat on?
Misty denies that and says she was already happily married to Steve McMichael, known as Mongo, a former defensive tackle for the Chicago Bears.
If you had taken the stand, you would have been cross-examined by Kelly.
Right, and that's fine. Bring it on.
But it could have been difficult. Because, like Susan, Misty was once a topless dancer.
It's true. I was a topless dancer for 10 years. Woo, big wow. What does that mean? Does that mean I'm a crackhead whore? No, it does not. Does that mean Susan's a liar? No, it does not. That just means that was our choice of profession. I enjoyed it. I had a great time. And?
Is it just a coincidence that they're both telling similar stories?
No, for some reason, Misty is trying to save Susan's skin. Sisterhood of the strippers, I guess.
Judges, the court pleads, the applicant rests.
Thank you.
After Brian Weiss argues his case, it takes Judge Wallace 4 months to make up his mind.
All right.
Thank you. Please be seated.
But I'm ready to announce my rulings on...
It was a million-to-one shot, and it worked. The judge said Susan should have a new sentencing hearing before a new jury.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm just trying to give you back your sister.
Brian?
Hey, Sue. How are you?
Weiss calls his client in prison to tell her the good news.
Oh, Brian, you're serious.
I am.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Thank you so much. You have just given me so much help.
Okay, dear.
It was not the news Jeff Wright's father wanted to hear.
When you got the word that she had been granted a new sentencing hearing, what did you make of that?
I felt like throwing up.
So what would you like to see happen now?
Life would be nice.
Life in prison.
Yeah. Don't you think that animals should be locked up and kept behind bars?
And Susan could well get more time. It is the great irony of this case that the one move Susan Wright, who's now 34, hopes will set her free, could just as easily keep her in prison for the rest of her life.
We're going to proceed directly into the punishment phase of the trial.
And that's exactly what the new prosecution team is hoping for.
Raise your right hand, please.
They have their own new witnesses lined up, and no shortage of theatrics.
Don't call her anymore!
Susan Wright is praying a new jury will shave time off her 25-year sentence. But she knows she could just as easily end up with more time, maybe even life. So why take the risk? For a chance to see her children again.
I would do anything in the world to be able to have them back, just to be able to watch them grow up, to know who they are.
Will that happen?
I pray it does.
It is now the fall of 2010, almost 7 years since her conviction for stabbing her husband to death.
All rise for the jury.
A more mature Susan Wright shows up in court. Brian Weiss has handed the case over to a new defense team.
Well, just what the heck was going on?
Led by John Mounier.
And we're going to prove that she was, in fact, abused.
Why am I of interest anyway?
The new prosecution team of Connie Spence and John Jordan intend to prove Susan killed Jeff out of anger, not fear.
This was a divorce by homicide.
Because he cheated on her and abused drugs.
5 years is a long time to be unhappy and pissed off at your husband day after day.
The wounds to his head, to his face, to his neck, to his chest, to his abdomen, to his sexual organ.
And the curtain goes up on the latest act of this legal drama.
The cuts that Susan Wright had on her hands is extremely consistent with when someone is repeatedly stabbing somebody else and the blood is making her hands slick.
The bed is back, minus the old blood-soaked mattress.
Sergeant Reynolds is tying another knot around the headboard bedpost. Yeah, so I'm gonna lay down.
This time, a prosecutor lies down on the floor to demonstrate how Susan was able to stab Jeff on the top of his head while he was tied up.
His head still is completely mobile. He can still turn it side to side, raise his neck.
Your next witness, please.
The defense is ready with a parade of experts on battered women.
They're ashamed by what's happening to them.
The state has made a great deal of stabbing him 193 times. How do you explain that?
Sheer, abject terror.
Their star expert is psychologist Jerome Brown. He testifies that when he first met Susan about a week after she killed Jeff, Susan was still scared of her husband and believed Jeff was still alive.
Well, she kept looking at the door and looking at the vent into the room, the air conditioning vent, and saying things like, is that him out there? Or I have a feeling he may be out there. Are the doors locked?
Prosecutors are ready for Dr. Brown.
Are you aware that she told her mom that his body is in the backyard?
Yes.
That's a pretty firm affirmation that she knows her husband is not coming back. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I definitely think she played Dr. Brown, and that's just kind of part of Susan. She's very good at playing people, particularly men, I think.
But Cindy Stewart says her sister couldn't manipulate anyone.
I saw, over the course of years, her become just a shell of a person.
In fact, she says, Susan could barely manage her own life.
She was so broken at the end, and it was because of him.
For the first time since this case began, Cindy is taking the oath and taking the stand.
I saw my sister, who had bruises on her forearms, on her upper arms, and on her neck.
But nothing frightened her more than what she says she saw a few days after Jeff was killed.
Handprints, fingers on the inside of her thighs. I stood shocked, and I asked her if she had been raped, and she said yes.
Thank you. Please raise your right hand.
Susan's mother, who's now 77, testifies she also knew her daughter was being abused.
She would be in pain. She would come over, and while I played with Bradley, she would just sit and cry. And when I would ask her about it, she would say, I can't tell you. He'll kill me. I can't tell you what's happening.
But prosecutors believe Susan made up the stories of being beaten, They say she learned all about domestic violence growing up, watching her own parents.
When she said Jeff did certain things, Jeff didn't do those things. We believe Susan witnessed her own father doing that to her mother.
Ask your next question, please.
But at the original trial, Susan's mother denied she was ever a victim, while her husband looked on.
Is it true or not?
I don't look at my husband as an abusive person.
This time around, she's a widow, and prosecutors pushed harder to get her to admit that she lied at the first trial, that Susan did witness abuse at home.
And you were asked at that time, under oath, were you ever abused or assaulted by your husband, right?
Yes.
Is it true or not?
And you said no.
They cannot have expected her reaction.
She knew if I told her yes, I'd go home and get the hell beaten out of me. Okay. I might not be back the next day.
Nobody.
And I might not ever get up off the floor again the next day.
Nobody's.
You think I'm going to sit here and say yes? Okay. That guy kicks the shit out of me. I'm not going to do that. Okay. I'm sorry, but abuse is a secret. And it's a secret abused women die to keep. They don't tell. You get kicked, you get hit, you don't tell. And I can't help it if it's the prosecutor, you don't tell, because you got to go home with that guy.
I was really proud of her for being honest. I knew how hard that was for her to say about my father. It had only been a few months after his death.
It's an emotional moment that stuns the courtroom. But the fireworks aren't over. Misty McMichael is about to take the stand.
I still don't understand what your point is.
He put a piece of glass in my face.
Objection. I object to the characterization by the...
And nobody can predict how that will go.
Yes.
You are turning your testimony into a circus.
Misty McMichael says she doesn't condone the murder of Jeff Wright, but as a mother, she understands why Susan did it.
Any mother is going to protect their children. I knew it was going to happen to him sooner or later.
And now she's ready to take the stand at Susan Wright's new sentencing hearing.
Yes, ma'am.
She'll testify that Jeff Wright abused her.
What kind of names would he call you, ma'am?
Whore, cheater, you know, bitch.
Misty testifies that Jeff Wright didn't just curse at her, that he often beat her and pushed her down a staircase.
What would provoke him throwing you down the stairs?
Who knows?
I mean, did you ever do anything intentional to him?
I didn't do anything. I did not cheat on him. I didn't do anything.
It is memorable testimony, especially when Misty describes the night she had Jeff Wright arrested.
There was a bunch of glasses on the table, and I don't know what I said, but he took the glass and he threw it, and it shattered on my face.
Uh-huh.
And it cut me, and it bled everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Still, I have the piece of glass in my chin.
Okay. Now,
Misty is eager to help Susan.
Yes.
Listen to my question.
You gotta let him
finish. Sorry.
The question.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Ms. McMichael?
But she is hard to control.
Yes, we've just... Yes, sir. She has asked me the same question repeatedly.
Ma'am.
Yes.
Last ma'am. No more ma'ams.
Okay.
Let her finish.
All right.
She's not just difficult. She's defiant.
What does that have to do with anything?
She answered.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
He didn't want to know the truth, kind of like you.
You had a piece of glass
still
in
do.
Your chin.
Still, it's still here. Can you see it?
Absolutely.
And you still don't believe that he was an abuser?
The judge has to repeatedly remind her of proper courtroom etiquette.
There are certain things you can do and you can't do as a witness.
Before long...
And that's why you refused treatment on
because
your chin?
I heard he was on his way over to me again and I didn't want to be beat anymore that night.
Judge Wallace has had enough.
Yes, ma'am. In the hospital emergency room.
Let's take the jury out. You and I are going to have a little talk.
He sends the jury out of the courtroom.
you are turning your testimony into a circus. If it continues, I'll strike everything you've had to say, and nothing you've come down here for will mean anything.
Could I have 5 minutes?
Susan's attorney wants a time out and escorts Misty out of the courtroom. When she returns, she's a little calmer.
Are you okay, Miss McMichael?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, Miss McMichael,
she was a colorful witness, but in terms of believability,
Did Jeff get fired?
It's difficult to get up on a stand and tell a story, but no matter how we come across, the story is still the same. What happened did happen.
You are excused. Thank you so much. We appreciate your testimony. Next witness.
There apparently is no shortage of Jeff Wright's ex-girlfriends.
Raise your right hand, please.
And prosecutors have found one for their side.
What kind of a girlfriend were you?
Crazy, irrational.
Marcy Holloway says Jeff Wright was a great boyfriend.
He was just never mean about anything ever at all.
She says she still carried a torch for Jeff after they broke up. She called him at home, and Susan answered the phone.
Tell us exactly what the response was. Same tone, what the response was.
I don't know if I have it in me. Don't call her anymore! Like that, it scared the crap out of me.
Me too.
Then she said that he was married, he had a child, that if I called there again, she would find me and rip my head off.
The testimony is over. But the drama is not.
His marriage situation.
It is time for closing arguments.
She had black eyes. She had bruises. She had the usual things that come about with the darkest secret of our lives, which is domestic abuse.
As he lay sleeping, she started stabbing. She did it 10, 20.
John Jordan appears to be reenacting.
4, 5.
Former prosecutor Kelly Siegler's reenactment.
9, 10.
191, 192, 193.
As the hours go by, the jury sends out 3 notes asking about probation with community supervision. Cindy and her mother began preparing to bring Susan home.
There's nobody like her. I wanted my sister back.
State of Texas versus Susan Lucille Wright, with the defendant please stand.
After 2 days,
we the jury having made a negative finding,
the new sentence surprises everyone.
Assess her punishment at confinement in the Institutional Division of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for 20 years.
20 years in prison, with credit for time served. It's only 5 years off her current sentence and a long way from probation, which Susan Wright had hoped for.
The jury has spoken.
And then, one last surprise. In a voice barely above a whisper, she apologizes to Jeff Wright's family.
I just want you to know that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you don't have your son and your brother, and I'm sorry that the kids don't have their father.
It's a little bit too little, too late.
They are not tears for remorse, nor are they tears for what you've done to your 2 beautiful children. You left them.
Ron Wright Jr., Jeff's brother, speaks for his family. Selfish tears.
The Wright family has been given a life sentence, and I think you got off too easy.
All right, Ms. Wright, once again, the jury has spoken, assessed 20 years.
She had hope for a period of time, and that's been taken away. She's devastated.
Susan's too devastated to talk to us anymore, but her lawyer has a plea for everyone involved in this case.
Both families have been suffering for years. Let the healing begin.
It is a tall order for 2 families who lost a son and a daughter, and 2 children who lost both parents in one bloody night.
In 2020, Susan Wright was released from prison after serving 16 years.